of Notre Dame football. 96.1 WSBT, South Bend, the sports leader. This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is drip.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Fumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts. Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback Evan Sharpley.
Glad to have you with us on this Friday, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Four fantastic sparkling flavors in just 100 calories, 2 grams of carbs, and less than a gram of sugar. It is Bud Light Seltzer, mango, strawberry, lemon, lime, black cherry. You can get some right here at Beef O'Brady's. There's a Bud Light Seltzer sign.
And Sean and Sharpley decided
wall.
Mango is the way to go.
Yeah, that's right. Mango. Put it at the top of your list. Maybe the – no, never mind. it is Beef O'Brady's hosting us today. Mark Cannarecki, we appreciate him and his staff having us out here. We're at the corner of State Road 23 and Bittersweet. Good food, good sports. We'll see you at Beef's. They've got the Surf and Turf special every Friday, and we're going to be having a little bit of this in a little bit.
Yes, we are.
We can't wait, can we? Wings and wings, steak, and shrimp coming our way. I mean, come on. What more could you ask
for?
That
sounds great.
The Surf and Turf special, you get a 6-ounce sirloin steak with your choice of either grilled or fried shrimp, French fries, another side, plus a salad, all for $12.99. That's a feast for just $12.99.
It's good.
It is.
I'm all about it.
Yep, absolutely. So join us out here for lunch today or any day at Beef O'Brady's. They have other lunch specials, Burger Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, Wing Wednesdays, Fajita Thursdays at Beef O'Brady's, State Road 23 and Bittersweet in Granger. As always, we have more content than we know what to do with.
Yeah, we do.
On normally. This show. I mean, come
we
on.
We make up for the whole rest of the week, you know?
That's right.
Well, that's okay.
We have to.
We can do it.
We have to. We've got the NFL playoff regular season expansion. We'll get to that in a little bit. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, Darren Pritchett's favorite baseball player.
Favorite baseball player of all time.
Sounding off on what's going on with Mike Fiers and the Astros. We will talk about that in a little bit. We've got all kinds of stuff. If we have time, we'll also get to Chris Russo as well. Do you know who Chris Russo is, first of all?
Well, that's the thing, is I would say no.
that's hilarious. So we'll get to, we're definitely going to get to that later in the show. That it's he was he's a now a national sports talk personality.
Right.
He hosts Mad Dog Nation on Sirius XM satellite radio. He also is on MLB Network. He hosts the show High Heat weekdays on MLB Network. And he is essentially a New York radio icon, a New York radio legend. Mike and the Mad Dog, Mike Francesa, Mike Russo used to, I mean, they were two of the pioneers of sports talk radio on WFAN in New York. So Chris Russo's daughter is a student here at Notre Dame, and he came to town over the weekend. Nobody recognized him, and he was upset about it. So we've got some of that that we'll play for you later. It's pretty funny, and the fact that, I mean, you played baseball, football at Notre Dame, and you have no idea who Chris Russo is. So it's like, what do you expect, Chris Russo? You're in the Midwest.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we'll get to some of that later on in the show as well, plus some other different stuff. Spring football practice starts in less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, we got the schedule.
Yes.
I'm still on the group email list.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I
guess but
that's
it's
good.
Been 2 years since I've like actually been writing
on
about
the beat.
It.
Yeah.
But
once you're on that list, it's hard to get off.
I'm always on the list now. Yeah.
That's right.
We're not allowed to post the actual schedule though.
Right.
But we do know, so well,
we can talk
the
about
details.
Things.
Yeah, we can talk about some things.
We can talk about things. First practice is going to be Thursday, March 5th, so 2 weeks from yesterday. Brian Kelly will speak with the media
a little
bit.
I still can't believe it's here already.
I know, because it is, well, February 21st.
Yeah.
And so that what they're going to do, of course, is they will practice for a day or two, and then they'll take a couple weeks off for spring break, and then they'll come back. They've kind of done it the last couple years that way. So, but we'll get to talk to Brian Kelly after that first practice.
What are you going to ask Brian Kelly? Do you have a question ready to go?
I want to know what you're going to ask Brian Kelly. What you would ask Brian Kelly. So one thing that we anticipate being able to ask questions about the new coaching staff.
Sure.
Even though all we know for sure right now.
There's some things we know for sure. There's some things we don't know yet.
Still
that we
up
think
in the air. Yes. And you would hope that the things that we think we know come to fruition. Oh, my goodness, some nice-looking wings.
The wings are here. The surf and turf is here.
Yes, my mouth is watering already now. So the things that are being reported, the things we know for sure, Tommy Rees promoted from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. Lance Taylor, running back coach, is also the run game coordinator. So let's start there. Okay. Just in terms of Tommy Rees, what would you want to hear from Brian Kelly about guys and that promotion,
somewhat controversial, I guess. So this would be great, going into the spring here, if when we meet with, or with, we'll say, when you meet with Brian Kelly,
right,
that we hear that Tommy Rees has guaranteed 40 points per game, 50 touchdown passes from Ian Book, and the best turnover ratio in the nation.
There you go.
I think that would silence all the haters on promoting Tommy Rees.
Golden question.
The offensive coordinator position. So if you could ask
can you guarantee that?
That would be great. Could you say, hey, is Tommy guaranteeing this? Well, then we're locked in.
Okay. I like that.
Was that good?
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
You know, Eric Hansen and I were talking about this yesterday on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, and one thing he brought up is Tommy Rees going to sort of have more flexibility with the wide receiver positions? Is this guy always going to be an X? Is this guy always going to be a Y, you know, the slot and all that? Mm-hmm. Or will there be sort of, you know, a little bit more loosening?
Well, I know we'll get to this.
Of the, you know, defining of the roles,
I guess. At least in looking at, you know, we'll say post-Chase Claypool, I think if you look at what's on the roster right now, that's going to be a good question. I think that they're going to have the capability to have a little more flexibility and fluidity within the X, Y, Z.
Because with Claypool and Boykin,
you kind of were tied
pretty
into.
Pretty specific,
that dude's going to be that backside receiver. You know, he's a physical presence. We want him at the X. We want him on the backside of formations because he's going to, you know, usually win those matchups, at least from a physical presence. Now when you look at, you know, what's going on with the guys that are on the roster at the wide receiver position, you could have a guy who plays slot, could play X, could also probably be a straight line guy who maybe would run a go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more. There's a lot more on the roster now when you start to look at it. And like Braden Lindsay, you talk about straight lines
different
type stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Lawrence Keys. I mean, if you started off with Kevin Austin, Lawrence Keys, Braden Lindsay,
speed
pretty
kills.
Good guys. Yeah. I mean,
speed kills,
that's,
man.
Yeah, and that's not even mentioning the guys coming in the door.
You can't teach it. I mean,
absolutely.
You can try to. You can try to develop it. But, I mean, a lot of guys, you have it.
And I think that's what everybody has been waiting for, right?
If I'm Ian Book and I'm looking at what they have on the roster as far as guys who, if they run in straight lines or even like maybe a diagonal, I'd be like, oh, that's good. I can do that. I can deal with that.
No, so when you look at Ian Book, and we kind of talked about this with, you know, what, a couple of weeks ago when we started talking about that relationship between Tommy Rees and Ian Book, how are you sort of, you know, whether it's the receivers, how are you sort of customizing things to really suit Ian Book, what he does well, while also still trying to push that offense, you know, in an upward direction?
Well, you know, the whole, you know, with Tommy now as the OC and the kind of strange exit, the previous coordinator, you know, certainly there were some question marks there on, you know, why would Chip Long. It was definitely not mutual. Mm-hmm. I think we're okay saying that. But now you have a quarterback and a quarterback working together. And I think we stated this a number of times, even last year during games, was I felt a lot of times the game plan didn't necessarily suit what Ian Book's strengths were. And we could take that a year prior with Brandon Winbush, too, on why were we trying to take, you know, and fit – the circle into the what is it? The square into the circle?
Square peg in a round hole.
Okay, there you go. That's what that's what was trying to happen early on. You know, and granted, they made a great run once they went to Ian Book, but the previous year you had Brandon Winbush who was doing a lot of damage with his feet, and the next year it was, well, we've got to make
stay
him more
in the
of
pocket
a pocket
now.
Passer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then even with Ian Book here in this past season, it was, well, you weren't able to throw the long ball. You know, he did a lot of great things out of the pocket as well. So I think that now with Tommy Rees at the head, I'm hoping that the communication level on understanding and knowing, here's what you do best. And Tommy's a great example of that.
Yeah.
He was a guy, you weren't going to try to make him get out of the pocket.
Right.
He was going to make sure he was in the right play. And that he was going to be distributing the football from the pocket.
Yeah, I think old school is, here's my system. I'm recruiting you guys. You might not necessarily be perfect for the system, but now we're going to, this is the system. You're going to learn it, and this is what
and
we're going to do.
Guess what? They've got three guys right now, similar skill sets,
mm-hmm.
all in the QB room. I think that that continuity is really good, you know, that they're able to build kind of an identity at the quarterback position on guys that can spin it, high accuracy guys that also have athleticism that can move in and outside of the pocket and make some plays.
Yeah, and kind of building on what I was just alluding to is, you know, like the Baltimore Ravens as an example.
Man.
They didn't draft Lamar Jackson because they were going to try to run the exact same system as Joe Flacco. And John Harbaugh took that offense to another level when he suited it to Lamar Jackson.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what I think you've got to do, especially with whoever is your trigger man on the offense. You've got to customize things as much to him as possible.
You look at a lot of the successful programs is that's what they do. They don't necessarily say, we run this. It could be small nuances, mm-hmm. but if you have a guy who's specifically good at one area, let's accentuate that. Let's really tap into the skill set that you have there versus trying to, let's say you have a perceived weakness, try to improve the weakness throughout the season. let's really lock in and say, you're good at this. Let's take advantage of that.
Right, exactly. Okay, so the other guys, the unknowns, as we started, you know, kind of down the line of the new assistant coaches, the guys that we don't know about for sure, but there are reports on out there that we are expecting to be named assistant coaches anytime once the lingering George O'Leary, you know, background check process concludes. The other two, John McNulty, expected to be named the tight ends coach. He has coached for 29 years. He was an analyst at Penn State this past season. He's worked as an OC and quarterback coach at Rutgers the year before that. He's worked for four NFL teams from 2009 to 2017, including the Chargers, where he worked with Rees. So any strong, you know, questions, concerns you have about McNulty coming
through
the door?
I think what we'll hear in the press conference is going to be exactly what you just read off.
Here's all his experience.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. I mean, I think that's right. I think that's right where it is. You know, you have a guy that's going to come in with a pedigree, a proven track record. He's been at a number of different places. And to add him to the staff, you know, there's obviously going to be some benefit there to that.
The biggest concern about him and Eric Hansen when he did a story on him a couple weeks ago at IndyInsider.com and the South Bend Tribune was who this guy is as a recruiter.
Sure.
What's he going to be like as a recruiter?
And isn't that I feel in today's the landscape of college football, it's kind of less about how you're able to coach players.
Actual X and O as to what talent are you getting through the door to start with.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And I mean,
can you relate to this next generation?
Yeah.
Because more and more programs now are spending unbelievable amounts of money on recruiting, mm-hmm. getting people on campus, connecting with players. It's completely different now.
I think the
whole marketing experience now, it is less about what you can do once they're there and more about can you get the guys to the school.
Right, because I think Todd Light did a great job coaching up, you know, maybe a group of three-star type guys up above where they were when they were being recruited. He did a great job of that, but they needed more four and pushing five-star type guys because they needed more Troy Pride speed to begin with. And so, you know, like when you flip it now to the cornerback position with Mike Mickens, that seems to be something that, you know, he seems to have a little bit more of a reputation as a recruiter than McNulty, for example.
I think, and I've been asked this, you know, would you ever want to coach in college before? I've been asked that. And, you know, where these guys really earn their paycheck is not between, I mean, they do. The head coach really earns it during the season, okay? But the assistant coaches, I mean, their billing is during the recruiting cycle and off season.
Yeah.
They're gone all the time. So you have to have a family that's bought into that, you know, and I think now when you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get players, you know, within this next generation where it is very much the, you know, how much social media has taken over. I'm going to tweet out every offer I get, regardless of who it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to let everyone know what coaching staff is on campus on a given week. You're seeing a youth movement where maybe it's either guys that are married and are younger, or they're single and they're younger because they're able to in that off season. You have to spend a lot of time,
yeah.
You know, going and seeing these guys.
Exactly.
You know, hitting them
guys
up on Twitter.
Out.
You know, tagging them and sending. You know, that's what it is.
Constant
it's
contact.
Very,
it's constant
very,
love.
Yeah. It's very different. It's very different.
Exactly. And I think that Mike Elston is one of the guys who's a combination of both being able to really coach up, you know, those twos and threes,
yeah,
those under the radar type guys, and also, you know, bring in some guys who are ready.
And then
a
once they're
higher.
There, his wife makes the kids
that's
cookies.
Right. That's I right. Mean, but they also, since he's taken over that line, you see him on social media where they're doing a lot of stuff together.
There's
all
a lot
different
of love
kind
there.
Of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I saw where he was out recruiting a few weeks ago, and the defensive line went to one of his daughter's swim meets or something.
That's what it's about.
You know. Yeah, that was pretty cool
that's
stuff.
What it's about.
Okay, so let's touch on a couple position groups for Notre Dame. Significant turnover going into the spring. Wide receiver, where Chase Claypool and Chris Fink are both gone.
Right.
And then safety, they lose Alohi Gilman and Jalen Elliott. And Elliott got a lot of buzz at the Senior Bowl and all that kind of stuff. But so when you look from a production standpoint, first with the receivers, Claypool led the team across the board. 66 catches, 1,037 yards, 13 touchdowns. And then Chris Fink, even though his production maybe was up and down, not quite what we expected coming into his last year, still had 41 catches, 456 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And then as far as who's returning for the receivers, Lawrence Keys, 13 grabs, 134 yards. The most returning receptions for the receiver group, 13. Javon McKinley, 11 catches, 268 yards, and then Braden Lindsay, 11 catches, 254 yards, also 13 rushes, 200 yards. And then you also throw Kevin Austin into the mix, who didn't get to play at all last year. So when you look at the evaluation of this receiver group, how confident are you in it, Evan, heading at least into the spring and then, you know, pointing toward the fall after that?
Well, there's a lot of hope. You know, I mean, there's, if you look across the board between Keys, McKinley, Lindsay, and Austin, I mean, there's a lot that screams athleticism, measurables. I'm sure that all these dudes, if they were at the NFL Combine coming up here, they're all going to test really well. You know, between their three-cone drill, their, you know, their 40-yard dash.
Right.
You know, all these guys have the measurables that you want, but most of them are unproven. I mean, you're replacing a very physical receiver in Chase Claypool that even as a freshman – you know, I put him on my first off the bus list every single time, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, let's have him come in. Instead of wearing that, you know, his blazer, let's cut the sleeves off the blazer as he walks off the bus. I mean, that was him, even in, you know, in high school and then as a freshman. So I don't know if there's a guy like that from a physical specimen side where you would maybe say that. But as far as the physical attributes of speed, change of direction, this receiver group has it. that's got to be built now in the spring, the summer, and the fall as far as how they mesh, what their chemistry looks like with Ian Book, and then, you know, what Tommy Rees wants to do as the puppet master as the offensive coordinator.
You know, we've talked about Golden Tate and how raw he was when he came in the door at Notre Dame before, but just raw speed. And as far as refinement, there wasn't a lot there when he got here. But he was a go-route guy.
We'll just say, I mean, we'll say it. You know, we had Rob Ionell, our receiver coach. We would always have Golden to our side of the sideline, and he would tell him what route to run. Now, 9 times out of 10, it was usually a go-route. But if there was some type of, hey, you have to read the coverage here, he was getting, you know, force-fed what that information was until he got it. But you're not going to keep someone off the field with those types of physical attributes.
Right. And I think that that's kind of something that some Notre Dame fans have been pointing to with guys like when you see Braden Lindsey touch the ball, boy, he sure does run fast and he runs away from people, right? So how is that guy not on the field more? That kind of stuff. Lawrence Keyes does some nice things. And obviously Austin was out for a different reason. Why do you think it is, though, because it both – the Division I football level and at the NFL level, young receivers, as they make the transition from high school to college and then college to the NFL, it seems like, with very few exceptions, it takes them definitely longer than a running back, for example. It seems like it takes receivers a little bit longer, really, to figure things out and be completely productive.
You know, you've got a lot going on. It's more than just, you know, running a route and catching passes. You know, there's blocking to it. There's different formations.
There's adjustments to routes.
There's personnel. And that really is the biggest thing is, you know, once you get to the NFL level, those guys are so good at disguising the coverages and the blitzes that they're, you know, they're trying to use, where it's hard. I mean, you may misread a coverage and you've got a veteran quarterback then standing there looking at you saying, dude, you know, where are you? Right. You're supposed to be here and you're not there. So, it takes a little bit of time with how you adjust to that and the speed of the game. I think more so at the pro level, even more so at the college level, because you can do things like that at the college level where you can give guys, you know, some more of the info if you can line them up in a certain area. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, at the quarterback position, when you transition from high school to college, there's a big leap there too, but you're learning the entire offense.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times the receiver group and running backs too, it's like, here's my job. I have to focus on my job. And once you finally get that, you know, then you can maybe say, all right, there's more going on in this offense than what I'm actually learning. So it does take some time. But, you know, the physical side, if those attributes are there, you got to get those guys on the field. You have to.
Right.
You know, some way, somehow. And one thing here I'll add, too, to this is we're talking about replacing, you know, kind of a big absence in Fink and Claypool. Where I'm most reassured is at the quarterback position and the offensive line.
Okay.
That right there, you can let these guys do their thing because there's two things that you should be able to count on, and maybe these are large stretches. I don't think so. You have a multi-year starter finally at the quarterback position. Okay, finally. It hasn't happened a lot.
First three-year guy in Brian Kelly's tenure.
It's been forever. I mean, well, we talk back to Brady Quinn, right?
Yeah.
He was a four-year starter, started as a freshman. That's how long it's been. And I know it doesn't maybe feel that long, but he was a starter up till what, 2006? Was that right? 2006. So it's been 13, 14 years since you've had a multi-year starter. You'll throw Kloss in there for, what, 2 years, correct?
Right.
A two-year period. But you haven't had a guy that's been 3 years, a staple in the program. You have it now. And you have multiple guys returning on the offensive line. That right there is the offensive line piece, I think, can't be talked about enough at the college level because guys graduate. Mm-hmm. In pros, you know, you might have an offensive line. It's the same 3 or 4 or 5 guys for how long? Long time. That doesn't happen at the college level a lot.
There are a lot of people who think that some of the issues that the offensive line maybe had this past year will be, you know, corrected with, one, the experience that you're talking about, but two, when you're talking about, okay, now the offensive coordinator – was gone, and you know, all the things that you hear that were going on behind the scenes there, that just the cohesion now that you're going to have with Quinn, the offensive line coach, and mm-hmm. Taylor, the running backs coach and running game coordinator, that's going to sort of mesh things out and fix some of those things.
I think you're going to see a few first-round draft picks on this offensive line.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
At least one, right?
I think so.
Okay, safety position, real quick. You lose Gilman and Elliott, 74 tackles. Gilman had 49. Elliott had a couple interceptions. Gilman had one. And then now you've got everyone's All-American freshman Kyle Hamilton elevated to a more full-time role after he had a team-high 4 interceptions and the pick 6 last year. And you also add Ohio State grad transfer Isaiah Pryor coming in. He played just one game his junior season last year, so that means he gets 2 years of eligibility remaining with this grad transfer. Didn't play a whole lot, but saw parts of some time in all 3 of his years at Ohio State. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence in the safety position?
I'm at
position?
Like an 8.
Yeah? I think that's about where I am as well.
I'm at an 8 right now. You know, granted, and Notre Dame recruited Pryor very hard out of high school. And end up going to Ohio State. So on paper, I like it. You know, I'm sad to see Gilman go. You know, Pryor was highly touted coming out of high school, but he's still definitely an unproven entity. But if you look at what he does bring, you've got to like what could happen. And Hamilton, I mean, he has star written all over him.
Absolutely.
You know, he's legit. I mean, you're looking at a guy, we'll say 2 more years. He's got 2 more years at Notre Dame. Before he, you know, I mean, if he continues on this track, I mean, with his length and his size and athleticism, I mean, there's going to be a lot of NFL teams that are going to want him on their roster.
Now, the one thing with him, he benefited from having either Elliott or Gilman on the field because they could handle sort of the nuts and bolts and all that kind of stuff. Where he had to play center field.
He's going to have more on his table this year.
Yeah.
But to that point, I think that allowed him to grow. If we're talking about, you know, the receiver position.
So he didn't have to worry about that stuff so much.
And growth as a freshman is, you couldn't look at Kyle Hamilton last year and be like, listen, even if you don't really know where you're going to be, you got to be out there.
Right.
And
right.
Now it's going to be you're out there because you also know what you're doing.
It took all of 2 full practices for everybody to realize that. It's like every time you look up, there's Kyle Hamilton with another fall practice interception.
And you know what benefits from that is even though there's a new quarterbacks coach, and I think, too, if you get the opportunity, Sean, you know, if you could ask once this is official, Mike Bickens, if we really want to know if he's going to have success at Notre Dame, is ask him what his favorite office character is. I think that's going to, you know, if he's saying Michael or Dwight, we know he's going to be a winner, okay? But if we're saying, like, you know, Toby or Ryan or Aaron, then there's going to be some red flags as far as how the DBs are coached. But with this defensive back group, they still have Clark Lee. And when he started, right, when Mike Elko was the main guy, Clark Lee spent a lot of time with the defensive backs, right. And so did Mike Elko. So I think, you know, what Clark Lee is able to do with the defensive backs, it can't go unsaid what he did with the linebackers last year when there were so many red flags within the first 2 games and where it went from there. They're going to right-size it. They're going to figure it out. So, you know, with Hamilton, you know, his star ability and a guy like Pryor who's been in a winning program too, I like where that safety position potentially could go.
All right. I agree with everything that you said right there. Leprechaun Lunch presented by Bud Light Seltzer. 4 flavors, just 100 calories, mango, strawberry, lemon, lime, black cherry. Coming to you live today from Beef O'Brady's in Granger at the corner of State Road 23. And Bittersweet, stop out for lunch today. The Surf and Turf is the special every Friday. A 6-ounce sirloin steak, your choice of grilled or fried shrimp, French fries, any other side item, and a salad, all for $12.99. Beef O'Brady's, corner of State Road 23 and Bittersweet in Granger. When we come back, we'll get into some of this NFL playoff and regular season expansion talk, the Houston Astros and things Big Poppy
had to say
about Mike Fiers. Should the title be vacated?
Hold on. Did you see that in Pennsylvania, there's a little league that got rid of all Astros teams?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding?
Unbelievable.
Did any of these teams get rid of, you know, their whatever, you know, Astros, Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, when the Giants, when the PED came out.
I thought they legalized steroids.
Barry Bonds lover. All right, so we've got a lot of baseball and NFL talk. When we come back from Beef O'Brady's Leprechaun Lunch, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Full of wings right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you do, baby.
Just getting ready to
some
wash
work
them down.
During that break.
That's right.
It's amazing how much food you can eat in 3.5 minutes.
It is, isn't it?
When you really put your mind to it.
We used to, we were pushing that for that wing challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's
over the
right.
Summer.
We might have to bring that back.
I think we might have to. Absolutely. We're at Beef O'Brady's in Granger, Leprechaun Lunch, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. I like that. I just probably within the last year got turned on to the garlic, Parmesan kind of thing, spicy
pretty
garlic,
good.
Whatever. Yeah.
I did the surf and turf during the break.
I noticed
that's where
that.
I went.
You went with a lot of surf and turf.
I think
the
surf and turf disappeared. It did.
You're right.
Into my belly.
Right. There's no surf or turf.
No, there's none. There's some fries.
Man.
I didn't have time for any fries.
Just
I had
chicken
to get
wings over here.
There are still some wings. Yeah, there are.
All right. We've still got, a lot to get to.
We always do, but we do it.
We're jamming it all in
that's
in
right.
a short amount of time. So.
Okay. What do we got next?
Well, this thing with the NFL has been going on. The owners yesterday, it kind of went to another level because it was just a proposal that Adam Schefter from ESPN reported a couple days ago. Then yesterday, owners approved the proposal.
Are voting today.
Right. So the proposal is expand the regular season to 17 games and also expand the playoff teams so that you have 14
total
teams.
The big part of it,
teams.
Though, is the revenue share.
Well, that's part of it as well. But, I mean,
is the juice worth the squeeze for the players?
That's how much. And I heard Dan Patrick saying today that I think Darren Revelle reported that
the money guy.
Well, if you add the 17th game, players under contract, the most they would get for that 17th game is $250,000, which, to us sounds great, but at the same time, as the example.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers is making $1 million per game for 16 games, and then all of a sudden for number 17 he's getting $250,000, there's no way he's going for that.
No chance.
And there's a lot of players in that same boat.
Because the revenue share right now is 47%, 48 if they move to 48.5 if they go to 17 games. So there'd be some revenue overall.
$5 billion in revenue overall over. A 10-year life of this collective bargaining agreement. Yeah, so, there would be a little bit of money involved, but
so far, it's been a hard no from all players.
It's what J.J. Watt tweeted last night.
Yeah, hard pass.
So just Evan Sharpley, if you take the economics out of it, let's start with the expansion to 17 games. I believe we talked about this over the summer when it was first kind of floated out there. And they've been pushing for it. And again, money has a lot to do with it because the more games you add, that's more TV. You can get more money in the agreements.
Dollars,
sponsorship, everything else. So what do you think about?
Owners and fans, all for it. All for it. Players, I would say.
Again, because
it's hard to take the money out of it because that's really what it's going to come down to.
And that's what all of these decisions come down to,
because
whether it's good or bad.
Whether you're talking about expanding or adding a game or expanding the playoffs, as a fan, sign me up for more football, baby.
Yeah.
As an owner group, yes, more opportunity for revenue, sponsorship, TV deals, all of that. But as a player, I don't know if it's...
Yeah,
I
think the rosters would only expand by one or two players as well by adding this. And, you think about it, by the end of the season, you see, especially like running backs, you see guys that you've never heard of before, and it's because of attrition in the pounding that they're taking.
It's an average lifespan of a running back in the NFL is 2 or 3 years.
Exactly.
You may decrease that by even more. I don't know. So somehow, if this does go forward, you're going to have to somehow build in more rest time, buys. I don't know how they would structure it.
if you are to add more games.
I think there would be
preseason. I don't know.
I think there would be an extra bye week. And essentially, they're talking about stretching the NFL calendar through basically last week.
Here, like, guys,
the Super Bowl would have been last week.
We're going to have a 1 week all paid exclusive vacation. You know, I mean,
there
will the
go.
Players be in that?
What do you think about the playoff expansion where now only the top seed is going to get a bye as opposed to the top two seeds in each conference?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I think there are arguments on both sides of how much that bye matters. There are some who say that you keep playing, you sort of establish momentum. But, like, I think if you look at the Tennessee Titans as an example, they had to play two games before they played the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And I think that they were just worn out by the time they got there.
Especially with their style of play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were going to be a grinded out, physical, downhill run, ball control. And I think it depends probably on the type of team. But if you look at, and you may want to run these down, if you want to look at what it would have been here this past year, right?
Oh, yeah, where the matchups
would have been if this had been last year.
So you would have had the Steelers as the number 7 team in the AFC, and they would have played the Chiefs, the number 2 seed.
They probably would have
picked
up Antonio Brown for the playoffs.
Somebody probably would have, right?
No, I don't know.
I don't know if they would have.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, in the NFC, you would have had the Rams as the 7 seed going up against the Packers, the 2 seed, in the first round. All the other matchups remained the same, and then
you have
the Ravens and the 49ers would have had the byes.
Yeah.
So, and again, the Ravens.
I dislike it.
Yeah. I mean, in general, just like you said, okay, great, it's more football. So instead of that wild card weekend, instead of 2 games on TV on Saturday and Sunday, you get 3.
Yeah.
So now you've got, but I'm going to be honest and say, as a fan, I don't think that I watch 13 hours of football both Saturday and Sunday just because it's on TV.
Well, Sean,
I probably watch parts
of the Cowboys were in it, you would watch for sure.
But that's,
what if they were smack dab? What if they were the last game? You'd watch all you'd watch
that's
all
that. 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, you got to pace yourself anyway.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
You do.
With your Bud Light seltzers and all your other beverages.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to, is pacing yourself. Okay, so, again, the players still have to vote on it.
I'm going with no. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, they're not going to approve it today. There's going to have to be more give and take.
There's going to have to be some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Give us more monies.
Here's a question for you, though.
I like this. Let's do it.
Which one?
I don't know. Which one is it?
I've got so much on this
sheet
here right now. So if you could choose only one between expanding the NFL's playoffs or baseball's playoffs, because baseball is talking about going to 14 teams as well. So if you could only pick
one.
Yeah,
but if we get even further into that, which we can, that's a hard pass there. I'm going to say here, shorten the MLB season, but expand the NFL playoffs if I had to choose.
So
I know I picked one there.
Where's the incentive for baseball to shorten its season, though?
I don't know. 162 is just so long. I don't know if there is an incentive, but
see, I would like.
Well,
those.
Ask Darren Pritchett, because there's so many blackout markets, you can't watch any local games.
That's exactly right, as well. I would like to see those wild card series be played as a best 2 out of 3,
rather than just a one game deal. The one game's awful.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Because, again, you
play 162, and it's like, here, go play one game.
Well, and I also think that by doing that, you're giving a better advantage to the teams that do have to sit out, the number 1 seed, the number 2 seed, because you're making those other two teams
use
at least 2 starting
pitchers. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Exactly.
Because you want to win that game.
Right. So I like that better as well. Now, one other thing that I wanted to ask you about is Mark Cuban, because Mark Cuban sounded off this week. Well, let me ask. He sounded off about, just baseball in general on Twitter. And
So did LeBron James.
A lot of people did, right? So Cuban tweets, baseball is a mess right now, and they have zero vision to see them out of it. I'm thankful they didn't let me buy a team. So let me start with this. Would Cuban have been good for baseball had baseball let him in?
Yes, I think so.
I think so as well.
I think so. I mean, he's, you know, he's,
players like playing for
yes.
him.
Yes. Yeah, I think he'd be great as
not
an
for
owner,
him, but the organization.
No, absolutely. Players have always said they've enjoyed it. You know, and he's toned back kind of his cavalier sideline antics that right. he had when he first started, but you know, I think that he's pretty well abreast and in tune with where, I mean, you could really say right now the NBA is going. All-Star Game was a big hit.
Right. Everybody loved the new format.
You know, I think between
not that he's solely responsible
right,
for
right,
that.
But, you know, I think between the NBA and the NFL, you know, where they're going, at least some of the things that are on the table that they're discussing, they're leaving the MLB behind.
But he's a technology guy, too. He's been, obviously, you know, he made his billions with the online internet broadcast. He was the first guy to
I think he gets
stream
it.
Like that. And yeah, made a lot of money. I think that baseball would benefit from having a guy who's not just interested. Now, he's interested in cashing his paychecks, don't get me wrong, but not
getting cashing
paychecks.
Too.
Yeah, because there are, whether it's the blackouts or the online streaming that baseball has and, you know, what they're proposing with these playoffs. I think they need someone. I think that baseball didn't want to have to butt heads with Mark Cuban all the time, but I think baseball actually would have benefited from having a guy who was going to butt heads a little bit and push to bring some bigger change.
Can we move this forward?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we build the brand?
Exactly. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, I want to get into that Chris Russo stuff. I have more baseball stuff that I want to get in as well. We'll start off with the Big Poppy and his comments about Mike Fiers. We will do that when we return. We're at Beef O'Brady's in Granger at the corner of State Road 23 and Bittersweet, whether it's surf and turf or tasty wings, anything that you want, all kinds of beer on tap. You can stop by Beef O'Brady's in Granger, State Road 23 and Bittersweet. Good food, good sports. We'll see you at Beef. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch presented by Bud Light Seltzer, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
You know, I was in South Bend from Friday at 2 o'clock until Sunday morning at 7:30, and I swear, all over the place. Arenas, restaurants, and believe it or not, and, you know, this either tells you that I am past my prime, which is probably what it does tell you first and foremost, that nobody watches the MLB Network, which is certainly possible, and nobody listens to SiriusXM, which is more than possible. To make a long story, you know, I did not have one person, picture, selfie, autograph, mad dog, not one person in 3 days. I was stunned. I must be losing it. Not one person. Not one, and I went to a game, an athletic contest. Not one, I went to the movies. Uber drivers listening to The Score in Chicago, which you can get in Indiana. You figure, God, this guy's got to know who I am. 670, The Score. He's got 9 lines on the Astros Saturday afternoon. Not, I went to Martin's grocery store on, not one movie theater. Not, I went into the LaSalle Grill and we screwed up a reservation. I thought the lady at the front desk would have, I watch you all the time. Not one person. In South Bend. I was stunned. I must be losing it. Not one person. They, so that just, and this is South Central Indiana. It's not like they got great radio out there or TV. Not one person. There's no sports talk in South Bend. Not one. And I walked around that campus and everything else. Fascinating. Just wanted to throw that out there. I sat at the bar. They got a nice little bar at the St. Mary's Inn. I sat there, watched the Duke Notre Dame game a little while there on Saturday afternoon for not one at night, not North Carolina, Virginia, not one person. Not one. I swear to God, I'm not lying. You think I'm making it up?
No, I don't.
Not lying.
Well, think about all the other
two
times.
2.5 days. Where wasn't one selfie? I mean, what can that do to a man's ego, for crying out loud?
So that was the voice of Chris Mad Dog Russo. His daughter is a student at Notre Dame. So
Candle in the Wind should be a theme
song. As he was
song.
Outlining there and bemoaning, he came to Notre Dame to see his daughter over the weekend, went everywhere.
How long
Nobody
did it
recognized
take him to write
him.
That up right there for him to read?
Nobody recognized. The funny thing is we're sitting here with sports fans going, who is this guy? I don't even recognize
Listen,
his voice.
I don't think I would recognize him. I don't think most people in this area would recognize me either. So,
well,
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I
now, Eric Hansen or Darren Pritchett.
Yeah, well, Eric Hansen gets recognized. He said last night he gets recognized when he goes to the steak case at Martin's. And he's, you know, he's given ladies tips on, you know, do you buy the sirloin? Do you buy the T-bone?
Well,
which one are you going
with
there?
Well, that's why. He's, you know, he's a seasoned veteran in the area giving
that's
those
exactly
tips.
Right. That's exactly right. So, Chris Russo, again, for those who don't know him, and apparently there's even more than I would have thought in this area, he hosts a show on MLB Network.
Why would a lady at LaSalle Grill know who he is? Why did he even bring that up?
Here's the thing, though. Chris Russo and Mike Francesa, Mike and the Mag Dog, they were talk radio pioneers on WFAN in New York, that, you know, going back to the 1980s. Those guys literally, by probably the mid-90s, early 2000s, became rock stars in New York for sports talk radio. So everywhere he goes in New York, guys are recognizing Chris Russo. They know him out there, but he's on satellite radio and he's on MLB Network. So,
which, as Darren Pritchett says, you know, we obviously can't get access to.
That's right. That's right. But that's funny. So he came to town to South Bend over the weekend to see his daughter. No selfies. Nobody recognized him. Okay, I want to, while we still have a chance, we've got about 5 minutes,
we
it looks like
it.
Here.
Let's do it.
David Ortiz talking about Mike Fiers. Here's the quote. I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher who came out talking about it, and this being the sign stealing with the Astros. And let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it. Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why didn't you say, I don't want to be no part of it? So you look like you're a snitch. Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem. Why nobody said anything while it was going on.
Nobody's
going
to talk about it while it's going on.
No, but a lot of people thought Justin Verlander was supposed to, even though Justin Verlander gets traded, chasing a ring, essentially.
So many guys that should have, could have, would have. And guess what? They all got their ring. So I get what he's saying. And I know Darren also, you know, tweeted out that. And Poppy,
I didn't
was
see
on
the tweet. So
he was
can,
on the Mitchell Report.
He was. A lot of guys were.
And you know my take on the steroid side of things, but you know, right. if we're gonna compare both, I mean, you know, obviously right now, when there's no penalty for the players, you can have guys that are on those reports come out and say things because they can, because the thing really,
right.
So you know, I don't know. I get parts of what he's saying is, you had an opportunity, but when you're part of that team environment, man, you're not gonna say anything.
And that's the thing, right? Like, you're in that clubhouse. Nobody's going to come out and say anything. Because, I mean, Verlander had the comments a couple of weeks ago. I wish I would have said more. So people started coming down on him. What did you say? Why is Justin Verlander, who just got traded there, who wants a ring, why is he going to all of a sudden start piping up and rat out his own?
And at this point right now, too, like, it really doesn't matter if that title is vacated. You know, I mean, for me, that's where I am. It doesn't matter. I think that
nobody's going to be reawarded. The Dodgers aren't getting that trophy.
What are
no
they
matter
do,
how much
hold a parade?
Well, I mean, and don't forget the Astros had to beat the Yankees first, right? So I mean, you know, so
unless, I think at this point now, unless there are actual penalties, money taken away, suspensions, postseason bans, it's, I mean, if I'm the Astros now, I came out and I tried to apologize, I would just stop. You know, there's no more media access. We're done.
I think the biggest thing right now is we need games to start being played at spring training, and that's on the horizon because
essentially, or regular season games. Well, you're going to have brawls.
You've had the trickle into spring training, so everyone who shows up,
Sean,
gets asked about it.
When you have guys like Mike Trout and Nick Markakis like actually speaking and saying, I can't believe it. I've lost some. Those guys don't ever talk to the media. They don't ever say anything. They always give you stock lines. And now they're saying, you know, you have Dusty Baker saying, man, Nick Markakis ate his Wheaties today.
But
I want to fight those guys.
The steroid era lasted for what, 30 years? Were any of those titles vacated?
No, they're not going to be.
Because that's exactly right. And this title shouldn't be vacated either, because you can't tell me that every team that won a World Series didn't have at least one guy doing steroids on that team.
I agree. And I think the part that is frustrating now for players is in asking, is this sign-stealing scandal as bad as steroids? It may be.
Because
we
don't know who else is doing it.
And there may be other teams doing it, but the commissioner doesn't think so. And I think that that's why a lot of players are mad.
But the commissioner's is proven already within a pretty short amount of time to be about as out of touch as you could imagine.
Nobody wants that piece of metal. What? Let's just cancel the season. We're done. It's all over. Nobody wants to win that thing.
No. Nobody. Nobody at all. All right. We've got just a couple of minutes here. Real quick. Notre Dame baseball, and of course, Evan Sharpley played both baseball and football. Took 2 out of 3 from Alabama Birmingham
last week
to start the Link Jarrett era. Pretty happy about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to start with a couple of wins, and now they go to San Antonio, one of my favorite places to go play baseball.
Great place. The competition this weekend, kind of
Right.
It's Incarnate Word, which is a small D1.
We played them, yeah.
Small D1 located there in San Antonio.
We played UT San Antonio as well.
UT San Antonio, Toledo, down at Wolf Stadium. Wolf with two Fs. Nice little park.
It's a cool place.
That's right. What do you think about their scheduling philosophy?
I'd love to see more Power 5 versus Power 5 in the beginning of the season, but I also get trying to win some games, build some confidence. If you lose those, not so great.
Right.
But I'd love to see Notre Dame schedule more Power 5 teams, especially early on, because you're not going to be playing at home. You're going to be traveling because the weather's not great here in South Bend. So you might as well go down and maybe play an SEC team, a couple of SEC teams, and it's not going to necessarily affect what you do. Best case scenario is you go and win 2 out of 3 against a team like LSU or Alabama.
A Power 5 team shouldn't be going to Alabama, Birmingham, and Presbyterian and playing 3-game series. You got to get away from that.
Yes,
you got to get away from that.
I agree with that.
And just for RPI reasons, it benefits you not to play a 3-game series. You're better off playing 2 games against two different teams.
We'll put it this way. It wouldn't hurt you to lose 3 games to LSU. Nope.
All right. Got to wrap it up. Thanks to Beef O'Brady's and Mark Cantarecki for having us out today. We will be at Tap House on the Edge next week, but be sure to stop on by Beef O'Brady's for lunch, dinner, anytime. And also, of course, our presenting sponsor, Bud Light Seltzer. Sean and Sharpley, Leprechaun Lunch, WSBT South Bend.